It doesn't look like that promise is going to come to fruition because the children of Israel have labored in Egypt for some 400 years. And just a unit ago, we picked up that that the oppression became harder and harder because of the geopolitical perspective of the Egyptian government. I told you that the Egypt, whenever we see countries and rivers and trees and other symbols, they are, in fact, they are types and symbols. And I told you that Egypt was a representative of a world system, allegorically. But it, in fact, existed with great power and prominence, highly educated and cultured people. There were discoveries made in Egypt that have are unparalleled, even until today. Take, for instance, embalming. We still haven't figured out exactly the chemistry that they use to preserve bodies. The closest thing to it is the boys that do the work down there in Louisiana and North Carolina, who somehow they have a great way and preserving bodies. But Egypt was sophisticated in many ways, but the pharaohs came and pharaohs left. I shared with you maybe this past, I can't remember that. We know that even the adopted mother of Moses was a pharaoh, was a king. As a matter of fact, pictures of her throughout the kingdom were always shown in a masculine form, but she in fact was, she coped with the son that one of the pharaohs had in an illegitimate marriage, and he took over eventually the political climate as a result of her aiding Moses and a couple of other things that went on, and he became very oppressive, but he dead now. He's gone on, and there's a new pharaoh in town, Pharaoh A. And he just thought that, you know, things are going well. I like this labor pool that I have, and production is high. We're just going to keep things the same. But what he did not realize was that Prince of Egypt, Moses, who grew up in the Egyptian court and had been on the backside of Midian for some 40 years now, who is now 80 years old, that he's on his way back. And he's on his way back on a mission commissioned by God. And he had one simple message to Pharaoh. It wasn't let's sit down and try to get a new trade deal, or let's put some tariffs on this or that, or let's look at your immigration policy. It was one message: let my people go so that they can come and worship me in the desert. That's very important. I'm quite sure that record that Moses told it just the way that God gave it to him. That was the message. Well, we saw how that worked out, didn't it? But it could have been expected, because God told Moses that, you know, don't expect that they're going to do. I'm going to harden his heart. And most people think that, oh, man, that seems like a violation of Pharaoh's free will. If God made him resist, no. That word harden, really, it's a word used, and it's more akin to twisting. In other words, I will twist out of him that which is in him. He don't want to do right, but he want to say something else, like most politicians. He don't want to do right. But when it comes down to the real deal, I'm going to twist it out of him. he will have to say what's inside of him. Ah, gives you a good, a different perspective, doesn't it? See, God told Moses, now you take my message. He ran up there last week and let my people go. Pharaoh said, you better get up out of here. And you know what Moses did? Moses did, I mean, this great Moses. Y'all know Moses. You know, I mean, Moses, you invoke the name of Moses. I mean, you're up there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when you say Moses in Israel. I mean, he's highly revered. Well, he was the biggest crybaby in the world. You know, I know because, first of all, he cried before he took the assignment. And then he went back to God and said, these people will not listen to me. The issue is, it does not, you are to do what God has commanded you to do. And you let God be responsible for the results. Now, before we get into the lesson, y'all know we got to talk. Y'all know what time it is. It's evangelism time. Matter of fact, this is week number 5 of evangelism, and we're going to have a test next week. Midterm already. Oh, how time flies. Midterm already, and they're looking anticipatorily to the day when they can sit down and give back to me what I've given to them. I tell you, they just can't wait. But, you know, in evangelism, you are to simply share what you know, and God will do the rest. There are many of you that have spoken into the lives of folk, and you never know the result. You never know whether they were saved or not. Maybe never saw them again. But it was you on that day that bought them the word that they needed. That's why you always, always take the opportunity. Don't ever, shy away from the opportunity to speak thusly for the Lord. Man is a sinner. He cannot save himself, and he needs a Savior. And the only way that he can be saved is by accepting the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary and his bodily resurrection from the grave. Very simple. You share that, and you move on. But don't go crying, Lord, these people won't listen to me. But that's exactly what it is. Y'all read the story. I know y'all did. We in verse 14. So that those first few verses of chapter 7, very enlightening. Because, you know, he talked about all that was going to happen. But in that, you saw something. You remember when he had the burning bush experience? That he said, you know, I don't speak well and all of that. You know, I can't. He had all kinds of excuses. Don't fit me. And so God said, okay, I'll give you a mouthpiece. And everybody immediately thought that, well, he sent Aaron along because, you know, Aaron spoke better than Moses. But what God has called you to do, you're going to do. I don't care how you speak or what your perceived dysfunction is, or disorder. We all got something. But I saw more than that. Because in chapter 6, leading up to 7, you see the purpose of Aaron. You see that Aaron was really sent along as the prophet. But Moses was to be the priest. Moses was to talk to the people. And Aaron, in the final stages, would do the talking to Pharaoh. You talk, you do what the people say. And your prophet will declare what the Lord has said. Okay? So now, Aaron's got a purpose. But did you know that Aaron was 83 years old? He's older than Moses. I ain't heard him cry about his plight. And you ever wondered why Moses, Aaron wasn't in the same kind of peril? Why wasn't Aaron killed? He was older than Moses. All the boy babies were to be destroyed. Timing. He was after. He was a part of that group. Remember the declaration. Somebody say now. 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 All the boy babies were supposed to go in the now. Let's go down to the now this morning. All right, verse 14. Lord, just like you said, his heart is hard. He's stubborn. He will not let these people go. He's not going to let these people go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you, Moses, that was what was going to happen? Just like I said it would. It's happening. Verse 15. Before we discuss this, what do you guys know about this particular verse in the Bible? Come on. You can even give me the Charleston Heston version if you want to. Yeah. Yeah. What do you know? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, now let's look at that. Let's look at that. Let's see what the Bible says. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. This is after he's gone back, told God what happened. He says, I need you to go back because things are working out just the way I wanted them to. Another comment on that too in a minute here. And I want you to go down to the water. Somebody say Nile. Because that's the water that they're talking about. Remember at the introduction of this lesson in Acts, we talked about the Nile being the lifeblood of Egypt. All life was centered around that Nile. I mean, you know, they did everything. And as a matter of fact, so much that the Nile was considered a god. Look, these heathens, they worshiped everything. But you know what's really surprising? They really believed that there was one God. Yeah, world systems. They believed that there was one God, but they believed that he was too high and important to deal with the trivial things of the world. So they had to assign him some help in the form of all these other gods. So everything would be had the possibility of becoming a god. They worship somebody, everything. And as a matter of fact, if you read in the previous verses leading up to where we are now, God told Moses he would make him a god unto Pharaoh. Y'all don't see it. See, because in the world system, anything of prominence, you know, gets all the clamor. And people will elevate and begin to worship. You know, that's why we worship the Lexus symbol now. And Cadillac and big buildings and all. People with names, big names and all that. Hey, we're just saying, remember, I told you Egypt was a world system. So here we are at the Nile, God telling Moses to go down to the very bastion of God, the Nile, the blood of Egypt, this pure crystal water flowing where everything was being generated. Go down there, stretch out your rod and turn it to blood. Now, before, remember now, this is considered the first plague, okay? But remember, this just said that they had this contest of such, these signs and wonders. Did y'all read the prelude to the chapter? God told them, yeah, they're going to have. See, because you got to understand, the devil's got some power. He just didn't have all power. And he's able to duplicate some of the signs and wonders of God. He just ain't in control of it. You know how I know? She told you. The snake, I don't like to use that term because, really, because the depiction, there is some debate about this particular incident about the serpent. Because if you go back early in Exodus, there's some mention of a snake, right? Chapter 4, you with me, Will? Here's the problem. That ain't the same word that they use in this chapter. The word in chapter 4 is nadish. And the word here is tanin. And if you think about it, the word tanin, one of the definitions is a crocodile. Y'all still with me? Don't run. Now let's go back. The god Sabak and his underling Apepi. Apepi was a god of disaster. He loved to cause disorder. He was one of the instruments that Sabak used in order to bring storms and thunderclouds. Every time it rained or every time there was bad weather, thunder and lightning, they attributed it to Apepi. Crocodile. So much so, you look at many of the statutes, crocodiles were allowed in some homes to run free. And the god Sabak wore a crocodile head. So many believe that it, in fact, was a crocodile, as opposed to what we call a snake. We don't say snake. But generally, there's general consensus that they're talking about something satanic. And the importance of Moses' snake, crocodile, whatever, consuming the other was that they can produce it or duplicate it, but they can't control it in every sense, even in the smallest sense, because that snake represents physical, spiritual. So in the spiritual, God is still in control. Even when the devil is able to duplicate, it will all be consumed by God. Now at the now, we're talking about the physical. This is the thing that where their life, their food, all of that came from the now. He says, go down there, stretch out your rod, and do what? What in verse 15? So what? Come, and the rod which was turned into a serpent shall thou take in thy hand, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord thy God of the Hebrews have what? Saying, go down to the Nile, stretch out the rod, and say, you got one more chance. Let my people go. Let my people go. The rod that they saw consume their snake, crocodile, it can even monster. And as a matter of fact, a lot more of the theologians believe that it's to something that's called a sea monster. But he says, whatever it is, you show them this symbol when you get down there. And says, you remember? This conquered, symbolically, the spiritual world is now about to mess up your physical world. Y'all not with me yet, but y'all will be. Look at the last phrase No, let's just start with let. And read to the end of verse 16.
Let my people go, that they may bear their burden in the wilderness. And behold, this is the word that I
not hear. Gotta do it. But I guarantee you, they're not gonna hear. Moses, you gotta understand, Moses had a problem even convincing the people that God had said this. Here's the priest. That's why he's supposed to talk to the people, not Aaron. Him. Some people says, when he's coming back before the snake and all of that, you know what he said? They said, you're the one that brought all this trouble down on us. We were doing all right. You know, we were making bricks. You know, people forget about their affliction when they get more affliction. You know, the more pain you got, you know, pain will make you do, pain will bring about some pressure you ain't never seen. And pressure will make water run uphill, you know. I mean, that pressure is something else. But they told Moses, you got us in this mess. You went up there messing with Pharaoh, and he's double our work, you know. And now, they won't even bring us straw. We out here making our own straw and all these bricks. So they read him the riot act. But God says, you get on back down there. The very next day, he said, you get on back down there and you tell those people, whether they hear you or not, whether Pharaoh hears you or not, you do what you're supposed to do. Folks, stop complaining about the work that you have to do in the ministry for God, that people aren't listening. You folks have been working in the church for 100 years. You know, let me tell you one thing. You can work 100 more and you will come up with the same conclusion. Church work is hard work. It's hard work because you're doing ministry for people who don't necessarily care. All people want to do is be comfortable. If you increase their misery, they're not comfortable. Now, Ray, I thought about you when I did this. No. Well, that's a terrible segue. Because what I thought about is that, why is God going through all of this? I want you to say this. I want you to say it this way. I want you to go down, stretch out a rod, turn it to a crocodile, snake, monster, whatever. I want you to go down to the river now. It hit me. And I said, you know what? I could have had a V8. That little man with the invasive doctrine, Liz Kendall's man. Aha. You know what? We've always been taught that God's chief purpose is to get glory out of man. That's his chief glory. I mean, that's his chief purpose, but it's not his obsession. And I realized in this, and along with some other reading, that God is a God of order. He's obsessed with order. You're gonna do it his way, or it ain't gonna be right. He wants you to do it his way because he knows what his goal is. He knows the product that he wants. You know, how do you get all of that? First of all, the scripture clearly says, do everything, saints, in decency and in order. And, you know, I used to hear that. Yeah, you know, military man, you know, so, you know, we believe in order and stuff like that on most days, you know. But then I begin to think about how we do ministry here at The Rock and Church Campus. Folks, we have got our obsession should be order. And do you know why? Do you know why? Oh, that's out of order. Isn't it? See, order, disorder brings about distraction. You lose your focus. God knows if you stay in order and do it the way that I want you to do it, you don't lose focus. That's the achieving product. Then I get the glory. Everything is always going to be excellent if you do it God's way. I ain't charging y'all for that. Verse 17 says what? Order. Egypt is clearly out of order, and they need to be put in check. So what we need to do is start with that thing that is so precious to them. Start in order. The river, their God, one of their chief gods. We're going to start with the water. And we're going to turn that precious water into blood. Because, folks, if that water turns to blood, ain't nobody going to be drinking, bathing, or anything else in that water. Because the water is now contaminated. Think about this. God works in changing things that are natural and putting them into order. And that which is contaminated, he cannot use. Man fell, and it says that it is wherefore as by one man sin came into the world. And the reason why sin came into the world by one man is that the blood is now contaminated. That which was purely flowing through his body is now contaminated. World systems. So what you do, go poison the world system. And that's where God starts. I'm going to start by poisoning the system. Jesus steps on the scene, and one of the first miracles that he does what? What's the first miracle Jesus did? Turn water into wine. Wine, a type of blood. On the cross, when Jesus is dying on the cross, and they pierced him inside, what flowed? Water and blood. Water and blood are very significant in the redemption. We're talking about a deliverer in the redemption process. Poison the blood, show that. Egypt, you are corrupt. Your gods are corrupt. And I'm going to show you the biggest corruption is right here in the Nile, the thing that you are so enamored with. And remember, that thing that was so precious to them, they used it to kill babies. Somebody better help me. It was corrupt. And God shows them how corrupt it is. So he says, when I do it, it will be turned into blood. And the fish in the river shall what? Not only will the water be turned to blood, that because the water is turned to blood, it is not suitable for the fish. And the fish that the river once produced are now dead. So it cuts off all productivity. Nothing can live in the contaminated water. God is cut. He's showing him that here's your God, but he's not sufficient enough, talking about the river now, to compete with the one true God. And in order, that's why God starts at the river, showing that everything is contaminated. The fish will die. And when fish die, they stink. And when they stink, ain't nobody gonna run down there talking about bathing, washing their clothes, or at least drinking it. They're not gonna do it. This is a plague in every way. But you know what? Despite all of that, Pharaoh said, what? Y'all ain't going nowhere. You know why, folks? Because evil does not know when to quit. Evil doesn't know how to do anything but be evil. See, we have an expectation of evil that's too great. Y'all expect that evil can be something that it's not. That's why God said, I will harden his heart. He got an evil heart. I'm not going to sit up here and let him lie to you, Moses, and tell you, yeah, well, you know, let me think about it a couple of days, you know. Get back with me in a couple of days. He says, I'm going to wring that heart. I'm going to twist that heart. I'm going to twist that heart just like you twisting clothes, you know, to get the water out. What's in that heart is going to come out. And now these people are in a predicament. They're in their first place. This is number one installment of 10. I don't think, when I saw that snake eat that snake, ah, man. Or if I saw a snake eat a crocodile, I think I said, hey, look, y'all get up out of here. You know, we'll make some other arrangement with these bricks. I just believe. But he hardened not. But what was in him came out of him. He couldn't go back because God is ringing. He's ringing. He says, no, they're not going anywhere. Verse 18 says, verse 19. Bless you, whoever. How many of you would be just slightly annoyed? I'm not going to say upset because y'all good Baptist Christians. How many of you would be slightly upset if you went to the water fountain and nothing but blood came out of it? Tell me what you would be. What would be your first response? You went, man, I'm going to drink some water while we're doing this. Tell me what your first response would be. If you went down to the water fountain. Yeah. That would be your first response. Thank you, sis. And that's the Christian version. I'll let him fool you. That's the Christian version. What in the world? But God said, not only do I want you to do the now, if you find a puddle of water, stretch out your rod over there. I want to make it as difficult as possible for these folks to get water. Match this. But see, the devil's not going to quit because he perceives that God's got a few tricks up his sleeve. The devil says, you got tricks? I got tricks. Y'all read the story. See, you really got to see what's happening to it. So every time God is blessing your life, the devil is working hard to duplicate that same thing in other folk. So in other words, if you needed an operation and you ain't had no money, and all of a sudden, you know, Bobby wrote you one of them big checks. Well, the devil says, hey, I can do that. I can make you think that there are miracles. I want to diminish everything that God does. And in this world, the world system has the ability to do that. Because, now I'm not a doc, but I'm wondering if the river, the blood that they're going to duplicate, is real, the real deal. Because they said through some enchantment, trick, sleight of hand, They were able, these magicians were able to do the same thing because that power exists in the world system. And Christians need to realize that. That the devil can do some great things. You'll be applauding the devil, jumping over the hoops, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world, and it's of the devil. But what God initiates, God controls. Better write that one down, because that one will bless you later on this week, this coming week. You know why? Because what happens is, notice that they produce a, we'll say, serpent, crocodile, whatever. But nothing is said that they were able to turn that crocodile or snake back into their rod, because they were consumed. Check out what happens with the blood at the end of this lesson. Notice one thing. They were able to duplicate it, but they couldn't change it back. That's how you know it's a trick of the devil. He doesn't control anything. God made you. He knows all about you. And yeah, they can come up with some modern day sciences and try to duplicate stuff that God has already done. But guess what? God can change it back. And you know what he can do? Change it back again. He can change it back. You know why? Because he is the creator of all things. He is, therefore, he's in control of everything. Next verse. You know what, guys? Hold up. Is there a lack of enthusiasm today or what? I'm excited about this lesson. This is one of the greatest lessons you will have. This is a redemption lesson. This lesson here is how you got to be where you are now. You had to start from somewhere. You have been saved. You have been delivered. And God is showing you through these lessons in Exodus exactly what happened. You were sin. Full of it. And you needed a deliverer. He's showing you how you got there. Through hardness of the heart. Through resisting God. Through rejecting God. If Pharaoh had not rejected God, the Nile would have still been, would have been flowing with beautiful water. Life-giving water. But it is disrupted. Life has been disrupted because of sin. With that in mind, let's read with it. Just a tad more. What? Tell me what verse we're going to read now. 21. All right, verse 20.
And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod, and smote the rod that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of the river, and all the waters that were in the river were turned into blood.
Moses did as God told him to do. Now, he's getting a little smarter as the days go on. You know, he'll have some faults. He'll fall back again because that's the way we are. We are maturing. We are not all matured. When I say, I'm talking about everybody in here. We're not perfectly mature. We'll be mature when we get on the other side. But while we are here, we must learn one thing. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Your work in the ministry is nothing compared to your obedience. You've got to do what God tells you to do if you expect to get what God wants you to have. The whole nation of Israel needs salvation. They need to be delivered from the oppressive hands of the Pharaohs. They need to come up out of bondage. And they need to do it not just because it's the right thing to do, it's because if they stay in bondage, God's word is null and void. Did y'all hear me? Told y'all God is a God of order. Every time you and I get in trouble, God remembers his covenant with Abraham. If there's any opportunity for his promise to Abraham to be canceled out, God is not going to let it happen. He will do whatever it takes. And you know how I know? Two words. Jesus Christ. That is the epitome of his fulfilling his promise to Abraham. Because unless Jesus Christ comes, dies, and ascends back to the Father, the covenant with the Abrahamic covenant doesn't mean anything. It would not have been fully fulfilled. But every time one of you walks down the aisle, that's just gravy on the cake. No, icing on the cake. Y'all know I've been into some pork chops last night. Okay. That's every time. So, do exactly what God says do it. Do it the way that he says do it, because God is obsessed with order. And the reason things aren't working out the way they need to work out for us is that we're doing some of the stuff that God wants us to do. And we're doing it in some ways that he wants us to do it. But God says, do it my way if you want this result. So that's what they did. And he says, immediately, when they struck that rod, what? The waters turned to what? Blood. Verse 21.
And the river that was in the river died, and the river sank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water out of the river. There was blood throughout all the land.
Sin is a bloody mess, folks. Sin the greatest enemy of man in all the chronicle, all the history of man, we can pinpoint to sin. How many of you got a real good night's sleep last night?
Nobody.
Oh, yeah. I don't have no more sleepless nights. Yeah, real, real good sleep. But how many of you, so you didn't have a good night's sleep, so how many of you really wanted to get up and come out here to an 8 o'clock Bible study? Oh, I'm coming down the alley. You will not escape this. Do you realize that if Adam had not sinned, do you realize what I'd be doing right now? If Adam had not sinned, I would be at home worshiping, me and Di. She's throwing grapes down my mouth. I'm throwing grapes down her mouth. All is right with the world. That alone is enough for me to get mad with Adam and myself. Because sin disrupted all of that. Sin wiped all of that out. All the relationship that Adam had with Eve, it's totally stained now with blood. And it says that death occurs because there's blood in that which blood shouldn't be. And to the point that it stank. So sin is a stinking thing. But you know what? Here's the other. There was blood everywhere. Everywhere you went, there was this stain. You couldn't get away from it. Somebody please tell me, would you not appeal if you're in the kingdom? Would you not go to Pharaoh and say, Mr. Pharaoh, please, can you do something about it? There's blood everywhere. We haven't had anything to drink. We weren't able to bathe. And you'll see in today's lesson, but in the printed, in the Bible, you'll see the furtherance of the text is that you'll see that it lasted for 7 days. Seven is the number of completion. plague number one, complete. That's what God was saying. And did you notice something? Even though, remember I told you, they can duplicate it, they couldn't get rid of the blood. It didn't stop. The blood didn't clear up. The blood didn't stop flowing throughout the land until God stopped it. When God says it's time for it to go, it went away. I'm going to pull up the pressure on you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity now to consider, would you let my people go? You got all this filth around you. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't let fish stay around my house too long. You know, this is like bad company. After a while, it stinks, you know. Got to go. But these folk had to suffer through this, all because one man said, I will not let God's people go. One man brought all this on the Egyptian kingdom. One man. Y'all didn't get that. Somebody turn to Romans 5:12 for me. I'm not even going to give you the opportunity. Somebody turn to Romans 5:12 because y'all thinking, this guy, he is so far off, man. He is so far off. Watch this. Now, you know what? I want some bold reading. And you know what? I'm surprised you evangelism students even looking at that verse, okay? All right. Okay, we want you to know, okay? Y'all have been, that's right, obedience better than sacrifice. That's right. You got it, Romans 5:12? For those of you who have King James, the very first word you should see is wherefore. Is that right? Am I right? Oh, man, I tell you, I can't believe I even got it right. Okay, so, could you read? Wherefore? One man. Got a lot. Go read. And death by sin. So death, all men. Because of one man sinning, all sin. Because of one Pharaoh sinning, all men are suffering. All of us are suffering because of sin. And it doesn't change, folks. You can let one man lead you down a path that will affect our entire nation for one man. But God has sent us a deliverer. And we need to listen to the deliverer. He didn't come to condemn or destroy. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the world system still wants to keep the deliverer out. They want to keep your Moseses out. They want to keep Jesus out. And as a result, we have a stinking bloody mess. Verse 22. Once again, because some jackleg can go and duplicate what he's seen after some slide. And if you guys have noticed, the Egyptians were known for their great magicians also. You know, this is how the pharaohs were entertained. But have you noticed in entertainment today, this wealth, this plethora, this myriad of magicians, and how good they are? Does anybody notice other than me? Oh, these guys, they do stuff now. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. So when I see this stuff about the magicians were able to duplicate it, yeah, I believe every that just makes me, because now I'm a witness to it. I see guys doing tricks. As a matter of fact, Early on in the year, this America's Got Talent, there was a magician on there that did a trick. Oh, I was totally blown away. And what it was with numbers. And you did something and they had the judges write numbers and choose a number and all of that. And, you know, normally, here's what you say. He's going to say, okay, what number did you choose? Number five. Yeah. Is that the number you had, Ray? Ray said, oh, man, yeah, how did you get that? He was far beyond that. You know what he did? The number that he picked, he said, not only, he asked the television audience, the people who are viewing all over the world, you pick a number. And so they supposedly they dialing in. Guess what? He got it right. I was blown away. But I know one thing. God been doing that forever. I don't know how this magician tapped into it. He didn't say whether he was a man of faith or what. But God's been doing it forever. And God could have changed the number. And I know one thing, that magician didn't put that in my mind. But that's the number that I had. But just because the world could duplicate the things of God doesn't mean that it's in control. It will still be a mess. And you know why I know? Because I told you, this is plague number one of 10. Because just as soon as they reject this one, God's going to say, hey, chill out. Don't worry about it. I got something else for them. I got something else in this bag for them. As a matter of fact, if they don't like blood, maybe they like some frogs. Verse 23, 24. So I can... Okay. They can't drink because he can't think. He can't think and see. This God is awesome. And what God is doing, God is attacking in order the things that he holds the most dear. Because in the next play, it's going to be frogs. And guess what? It just so happened that frogs in that day and time were worshipped. Yes, they were gods. Y'all not going to believe me, but the actual pronunciation, even in the Hebrew, is Hopi, H-O-P-I, frogs. Frogs. All because a man in his heart, he wanted to do something different. He wanted to say something different, but he couldn't. Because God is twisting that heart and saying, no, you've got to be revealed. And see, folks, until we are revealed, and the thing about it is it's going to be shocking for a lot of folks. A lot of folks think they're getting away with a lot of things. Don't nobody know, because they're smooth of tongue and they, you know, talk their way out of stuff and they're used to bogarting folk, you know. But you know what? This is a political commentary now. How is it that folk who've been used to bogarting all their life can be bogarted? I don't understand that. You all sinners, y'all just as big a sinner as anybody living. That means you've got the capability of doing exactly what other folk do. The thing about it, when you hear the word of God, when you hear the truth of God, it should make you angry when the world is out here going, doing the things that it's doing. Because they're just bringing, heaping blood, dead fish, frogs, grasshoppers, all on you. There's more to come, but Sam Warder and Brother Johnson will have to tell you about it. You guys be good. I'll see you on the other side.